There are people that have very, very irritating character. You meet them, you regret why you ever met them. And you didn't meet them for long. 5 minutes is enough to tell you they are wrong people to be in your company. Because the character is wrong. God taught me. He said there are three major areas of life. Power, doctrine, and character. If you don't have authority, maybe spiritual authority, governmental authority, economic authority, if you don't have accurate understanding of God, which is doctrine, and if you don't have the right character, he said you'll go nowhere in life. God will shape and work on your character. It's too important. In fact, in the mind of God, you should be exactly like God. In 1 Peter 1:15, he said, be ye holy as your heavenly Father is holy. God wants you to model his essence. So when we speak about character, we are not just picking one or two things. You are humble, you are patient. We are saying you become Christ-like. And when God is really resetting you, he will work on your character. See, a reset program is not just a place where you come to receive prophecies. Oh, I have a new house. I have a new land. I have a new car. God is doing something more lasting. He's building structures and foundations that prophecy can rest upon. And he will touch your character. If your character is not touched in this conference, it's either you are impeccable or you didn't attend. If you are impeccable, thank God. But if you are not, one aspect of your character must be affected. Some people talk too much. They tell everybody everything. And so every blessing is aborted before manifestation. Meanwhile, the moment they talk, the Holy Ghost is grieved. They know they've erred. But the next place they go, they still talk. And a point comes, they say, this is my mouth, this is my mouth. That your mouth, God will put a padlock on it from this conference. Because of your destiny. Praise God. Some is anger. 5 seconds, they become like wild lions. And when you talk, they say, no, me, I know they take nonsense. So, no, but they know me, they know me. They know you, that's why you are where you are. They know me. I mean, no. They are like tigers and tigresses. Meanwhile, they are angry with the wrong people. The person you are angry with, your anger doesn't affect the person. But what we have done is that we have shot a season. Because people mean different things. Some people are portals. When you meet them, they open you to encounters. Some people are opportunities. When you meet them, they give you access to things and to places. And some other people are seasons. When you meet them, that encounter will change 10 years of your life. And if you don't maximize them, you will walk around like this for 10 years in one spot. Because God brought a season to you in the likeness of a man. So when you violate that relationship, when the person is going, that's 10 years of your life going. That means you will go into the wilderness for another 10 years. You will be fasting and praying. What you didn't know is that the programs of God are built into men. Some are blessings, some are opportunities, some are encounters, some are portals, some are seasons. But you know your problem, anger. I know they take nonsense. So what you didn't know was that you locked the door to 10 years. And then you are wondering, is this God real? Are you sure church is not a scam? Church is not a scam. It's your irritating character that is making prophecies useless. I'm persuaded this morning that somebody will enter into a season that will not only restore, but reprogram you for the next level. Because there are certain debris of corruption that wants to undermine the power and the possibilities of God in our lives. So when we come for programs like this, you will see that some of the words coming to you will be like fire. Some might even sound judgmental. The goal is to purge you, to purify you in the flames of fire, so that you'll come out pure, without blemish and without reproach. That's what God does in a program like this. So he realigns your priorities. He restores his intentions. He purges until you are purified, and then he activates his power in your spirit. There is a power you need to prosecute destiny. That power is in the spirit, but sometimes they are dormant. In Ephesians 3:20, the Bible said God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power at work in you. So as almighty as God is, he may not be able to do in your life if the power in you is dormant. This is why many people are saying, God, where are you? And God is saying, where are you? Because he will work to the extent of your own activation of that which he has put in your spirit. So in a reset program like this, you can hear a word that inspire you. You can see somebody that inspire you. A prophetic vision can be given you. It will provoke something on your inside, and you see that you make a new resolve. that you will not fail. A new resolve that you will make a difference. That is an awakening of something that was in you but dormant. When God is able to activate that power, then your life is set on course. When God wants to reset people, the place he invades is their mind. If God is able to work on a man's mind, that man cannot be limited. I was teaching my people recently and I told them, have we even contemplated who we are? Because most of us have put designations on ourselves that heaven is not aware of. I'm a beggar. I'm struggling. Nothing is working. Do you know who you are? Do you know what was invested in you? The greatest investment of divinity is not on angels, it's on men. If you study the book of Psalms, chapter 8, verse 4 to verse 5, he said, what? He didn't say who. You are not a who. You are a what. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He said, the son of man that you did visit him. Now, that's what the angels can understand. Because in the realm of angels, ranking is about where you stand with God. Gabriel said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. When John went to heaven, he saw mighty angels before the throne. Angels that have rank are given access. Now, the angels were wondering. God created the man, put him in the garden. And the Bible said in the cool of the day, God left the throne that everybody is struggling to come before. And God removes the garment of divinity, sneaks out of heaven, and he goes to the garden looking for the man. The man is not present, and God is asking, where are you? And the angels are like, come on, in all our civilization, in all our history, we are the ones who come before you. The biggest of us appear before you. Why are you now going to appear before another creature? So they said, what is man that you are mindful of him? You are not only mindful of him, you, a whole you. You too visit people. You visit him. The Bible said you made him a little lower than the Elohim. You crowned him with glory and with honor. And you gave him power to rule over the works of your hand. What are the works of his hand? Creation. So how can you struggle when you are in charge of creation? Creation responds to you. You don't struggle when you are placed over creation. Maybe if you go to heaven, you can struggle. Because there, you are not part of those who have authority to run it. But this one that you are running, you shouldn't struggle here. But there's something wrong with the mind. We are where we should be in charge. But we are saying we are not in charge. And our words condemn us. But it's in the mind. It's in the mind. I read my Bible and I was shocked. All through the Bible, there are three major designations that God gave to the man. Number one is as a king. Number two is as a priest. Number three is as an ambassador or a witness. The man is a king. The man is a priest. As a king, he rules. As a priest, he has vital connection with God at all times. That means I can be in a board meeting and I look to heaven and I commune with God. Lord, this one is not in my textbook. And I look to heaven and inspiration can come. In the boardroom, I can be in the shower and connect to heaven. So I have vital connection to heaven. Do you know what it means if you can call the president any day, anytime? Now you have vital connection to heaven. You can access heaven at all times. And you have the authority of heaven on earth. And then you have been given the ticket, the patent to represent heaven on earth. As a witness, it means God has built you to manifest him in the earth. How come we are where we are? The Bible said they know not. Neither will they understand. Psalm 82 verse 5. I have said, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. But because they know not, because they will not understand, they are gods, but they walk like fallen princes. So I studied and I discovered one of the ways gods fall. Our prayer, our word life, our evangelism life, our church service, for some of us, it is suffering. No, it is suffering. Some of us pray once in a month, and that's when church organized prayer. And even in that prayer program, we come late and we leave early. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:13, if you read 13 to 15, he said, until I come, he said, give thyself to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. He said, remember, pay attention to the giftings that were put on your life through the laying on of hands of the presbytery. He said, give thyself wholly to these things that your profiting may appear to all men. The reason your profiting is not appearing is because your devotion is suffering. Your altar is your throne. If you don't have an altar, you don't have a throne. Any spirit can kick you out of destiny. Our lives and our destinies are spiritual. If you think it's all about experience, if you think it's all about a certificate from Harvard, you are joking. Wait until a demon show up. Wait until you have a house care who you know more physics, more business than, but is a grandmaster in the demonic coven. You'll be traveling for holiday, they'll do like this. Then you'll discover rubbing of hand means many things in different realms. Our devotion is suffering. The apostle said in Acts 6:4, we will not give ourselves to tables. We will give ourselves. They didn't say we will pray. We will give ourselves. See, there is a level where this thing becomes your life. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. If you want to see a man who is truly successful, his root is in God. Prayer, study, evangelism, church service is not for the poor. It's for the children of God. Because we are in a kingdom, and it is from that kingdom that our life is defined. How can you be walking on earth? You don't have a vital relationship with God. Every day you are looking for somebody to hear God for you. You are living your life every day, meeting attacks, warfare, challenges every day, and you are waiting for one prophet to hear God for you. As if your life will be on a pause until you meet the prophet. So what happens in the 3 weeks that the prophet has not had time to pray for you? What happens in the 2 months that the prophet has not prayed for you? Will your attacks be suspended? Will the challenges be suspended? Will the decisions you need to make be suspended? In the New Testament, we are all priests. The Bible said in Revelation 1:6, unto him that washed us and made us priests and kings unto God. You must know God for yourself. You give yourself. Nothing is more important than your intimacy with God. That's where the bearing of your life is derived. He said, if you are in the wrong direction, he didn't say a prophet will tell you. He said, you will hear a voice behind you telling you, turn back. This is the way to go. You know why some walk into death? They don't hear God. And they don't hear God, not because his voice is cast. It's because they have no devotion. Their altars have become ashes. God needs to show you what should come first in your life. There are people today that is what they wear that is their biggest priority. Clothes, as unimportant as clothes is. Now, dressing well, appearing noble is good. Get my point. But if you check their finances, 70% is invested on what they wear. Meanwhile, after 5 years, they can't remember that shoe they wanted to kill themselves for. The shoe is gone. They can't even remember the color. There are people that all their biggest priority is a car. Now, you can use your car for business. That's important. I'm just talking about people who are given to vanity. So they will take a loan from a bank and buy a car. They must know that somebody is here. No investment, nothing is car. See, when we talk reset, it's not just praying in tongues or having encounters. God will reset you holistically. If your priority is wrong, your actions can be right. And so in a reset program, God will engineer your priorities. God first. In Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom. What is your weight with God? What's your investment with God? How much capacity and what stand do you have with God? When God numbers his sons, will he call your name? He said, the standard of the Lord standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. That all of us gather here does not mean we are all of God. God knows those who are his. And those who are his are not just born of him. They seek first the kingdom. Check your time. Check your finances. How much percentage of it goes to God? Then you talk family. Then you talk career. Because you also have to impact humanity. But you must have a priority that is right and impacts on your calling. Now, I'm a preacher. God can build and discipline me in such a way that 70% of my time is invested in prayer, study, and evangelism. You can be a politician. You will serve God differently. So he will give you your own quotient in a way that your calling will not suffer. Because when your priority is right, it's not necessarily how you partition your operation. It is the extent to which your calling is realized. Because the goal of priority is so that you will fulfill God's purpose for your life. And so God will show you how to prioritize correctly. It's a place, a critical place for reset. Many people have wrong priorities. Somebody gets his first 10 million, he's thinking about the second wife. Somebody gets to a room, he meets important people for the first time, he's talking about his house rent. Because he, as far as he's concerned, if he can get his house rent, people that if you were talked to, I heard somebody, they were interviewing a billionaire recently, and he said he paid $4.5 million to sit with Warren Buffett for a few minutes. People who have the right priority, they know how to maximize opportunities. But people who have the wrong priorities, they squander opportunities. When you are reset, God will redefine your priorities. And your priorities will in turn define how you live your life. There are times when God upgrades. You know, some people believe that they must do something for you before you do something for them. Now, there is a place for exchange of values. Don't make any mistake about it. In life, it's what you bring to the table that defines what you get. But over and above that, there are many possibilities. Because you are a son of a spirit. God can move one person. He will meet you today and change your story. But if you are not reset, you won't know some possibilities occur or can occur. So what God does in addition to realignment is that he begins to upgrade your mind to the possibilities that are in his realm. That's why the Bible told us that you cannot put fresh wine in old wineskin. The Bible tells us it's impossible. He said, remember not the former things. God said, I will do a new thing. And the new things he wants to do, you don't know them. They are bigger than you can imagine. So what God does in reset programs like this is that he begins to upgrade your mind. That there are possibilities beyond your reach yet are available to you. And then the third thing God does is that he upgrades. So he realigns, he updates, and he upgrades. Because God does not want to bless you and then you become an embarrassment in the blessing. And so when God blesses you, he upgrades you. God can raise somebody to give you ₦1 billion. But when that person comes, in addition to what that person will do, is that God will have you trained so that you build structures to be able to sustain it. When I was younger, I used to hope and pray that one day I should just walk around and find money. Maybe I should pick money in a bush. Somebody because we were watching movies like Jaguar. He picked money in the bush. So I thought, me too, I will go to the bush one day and pick money. I never picked any money anywhere. Glory to God. God rather began to develop my capacity. You see that? So in a reset conference, there will be a place of upgrade. God will give you fresh instructions. Some of us will come for a conference like this, and God will tell you, take a 40 days fast. Some of us will come for a conference like this, and God will tell you, take a course in programming. Some of us can come for a conference like this, and God will give you instructions. He will tell you, go and do a master's degree. Go and do a business course. It's part of the reset. Because he will upgrade, he will update, and he will realign. When these three things are done, then you are ready for the next level. Because the whole goal of reset is to bring you, reposition you for the next level. And I am persuaded that before this conference ends, some of us would have entered the next level. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 1, it said, the heir, so long as he's a child, is not different from a servant, even though he is Lord of all. It said, therefore, the Father places him under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. So God will upgrade you. I'm telling you, there are some of us here that what we need critically is upgrade. Is upgrade. And some of us need update. Why some of us need realignment? If you are falling, you need realignment. If your mind is limiting your destiny, you need update. So that you can catch up to current emphasis. And if you don't have capacity, you need upgrade. How you handle time, how you handle money, how you handle giftings, how you handle people. God will teach you. God will train you on how to do those things. If God does not reset your stewardship capacity, it doesn't matter what he gives you. Some of the poor people you meet, they have the most opportunities and the biggest resources. They are not always the way they are. They misuse them. And so in a reset program, now why am I giving you this foundation? So that when the array of ministers are ministering, you will know what you are receiving per time. Somebody can minister here for 1 hour. All you will receive is one instruction. Somebody may minister here. All you receive is wisdom. Because there are different areas of reset. Oh, how some of us waste money. We think until somebody give us 1 billion, that's when our life will start. You ask the billionaires, and then they will tell you how they started trading with 100 naira. And they grew 100 naira to become a billion. The poor man is waiting for a billion to start. But the billionaire started with a naira. Because there's no stewardship. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1, Paul said, I'm a servant of God and a steward of the mysteries of Christ. And he said, it is expected of a steward that a man be found faithful. You are trusting God for the next level and you misuse the previous level. No, you will repeat that class. God can introduce you to the president when you abuse the counselor. God can introduce you to billions when you wasted thousands. Because the result will be the same. He said, if a man is faithful in little, he will be faithful in much. Luke 16, 10 and 12. So if a man is not faithful in little, there's no need wasting much on him. Give it to those who can handle it, because there's a kingdom to advance. Can I surprise you? If you check the gifts that are here this morning, it's enough to change Africa. But what's the problem? Maybe only 10 people are making the most of their gifts. Somebody is a singer, never sings. Somebody is creative, never apply it. You see a creative person who should be in the entrepreneurship field looking for a job for 10 years. He has not realized there's a gift. In a program like this, what God will do, if he needs to give you a dream, a vision, get you to meet somebody, he will do it. So that you remove that tie first. You don't need a tie. What you need is jean and shirt. Get into a workshop, activate a gift. That's research. Giftings are not managed. Finances are not managed. Opportunities are not managed. Relationships are not managed. Some of you, after this program, you will go and send a text to somebody and say, I just remembered how well you have been a blessing to me, and I want to say thank you. You know why? Because you have not thanked your helpers. The only time you reach them is when you have need. So when they say, good morning, sir, they say, what do you want? And you foolishly answer, please, school fees. Some of us, we leave this conference. You know what you do? You go and buy a big hamper and you take it to somebody's house and say, I just want to say thank you, because you have misused relationship. Some of us, we need to even call some people and apologize. I knew I overreacted that day. I know I overreacted that day. Please, just bear with me. I was having a difficult time. Because the God you are looking for came to you in the likeness of a man. You didn't recognize it. Sometimes spirituality is laced in everyday physical activities. God will teach us stewardship. Some of us will leave this meeting and we'll go and check our debt profile. How much you spent last year versus how much came into your hand. Some of us spent more than we received, because some of the things we spent didn't even enter our hand. Somebody say, I want to give you something. You say, okay, I'm owing here. Please pay the... Meanwhile, when we come to church, you need to see prayer. Every week, our voice is gone because of prayer, which is good. But the moment money enters your hand, you blow it. You pray, pray, pray. The moment God brings a reasonable relationship, you blow it. We have to stop walking in cycles. It's time to make very strong advance in life. There are people you should listen to. There are people you should relate with. They change your life. Because what you hear can be held and it can also be poison. When men talk to you, they are not informing you. They are feeding your soul. And some of us have been eating poisons. Some people talk only fear. Some people talk only failure. Some people talk only sin. And you don't know why you are struggling. Some of us have the best of minds, but our soul is filled with fear, because only fearful people talk to us. Only failing people talk to us. And so we don't know why we are struggling. Change your menu. And to change your menu, you must change the chef. And the chef are the relationships around you. Finally, how does God reset you? He resets you by exposing you to relevant materials, like books, like platforms. He say, until I come. 1 Timothy 4:13. Give thyself to what? To reading. You know, for some of us, we need to change our phones for 1 month. Go and look for Touchlight phone. Find out if it still exists. Buy it because of your future. Because every time you wake up, you start here. And you are here till you sleep off. Now, it's not a problem if you use it for business. If you use it as a study material. The only problem is that you're only watching hairstyle and cars. So, start with the discipline of putting it aside. Or call your relative that is far from you. Say, take this phone. Don't bring it back until after 1 month. Lock it and give the person. After 1 month, at least that appetite would have died. So that you are not... some people, they call it mindless scroll or scrolling. And you would think it's for Gen Z. No. Even millennials are doing mindless scrolling. Substitute phone for book. When you drop the phone, buy 20 books. Tell yourself, every day I will read one chapter. You will carry it the first day, you will sleep. After, when you are on the third paragraph. Don't worry. Sleep well. When you wake up, continue. There's no law against sleeping. Sleep well. When you wake up, continue. If you check for your phone, it's with your relative. That's when you will see how rusty you are. Guess what will happen? You will go to see the color of the sun. The color is still the same. When you go out, if you finish distracting yourself, come back, continue reading. You will enter the kitchen. You will enter the parlor. When you walk around, come back, continue reading. After 7 days, the rebellion will cease. Your mind will start becoming quiet because you have not fed the wrong appetite. Any appetite that is not fed is mortified. On the 26th, I bought 30 books. It's not on prayer. I know enough on prayer. Guess what? I bought 30 books on wealth creation, on leadership, and on management. I kept it in my bedroom. When I wake up, I carry one. The Alchemist. I'm reading. 7 Habits of Highly Impactful People. Atomic Habit. I'm just reading chapter by chapter. I will read all. No, but the first time I carried it, it didn't sound spiritual. Because I'm used to angelic realms. I'm used to prayer. I'm used to fasting. I'm carrying it. The other one is stories. I say, welcome to the world of wealth. We must know it. Get relevant materials. By the time you do, in 3 months, you'll be shocked. Even you will be amazed that you have all these potentials. So, me too, I can make millions. Me too, I can have encounters. Yes, you can. The reason you are not is because instead of ladders, you were blocking your heavens. When God wanted to put his spirit on the 70 elders, 2 persons were not in the camp. But the Holy Ghost still fell on them. Because when you have been positioned, it's not a physical location that matters. It's the spiritual connection. Because you may not be there physically, but you are connected in the spirit. And then you'll discover somebody is sleeping. He wakes up, he can't sleep anymore. And your name is ringing in his mind. Where is this person? He will do everything humanly possible to find you. And when he finds you, everything he has capacity to do for a man, he does for you. And you are wondering, what's going on? You have been repositioned. You are positioned in the place of favor. You are positioned in the place. So things just begin to happen. And you are, see, this world is a mysterious world. There are many spirits networking different things in this life. It's not just about what you have. It's about who is with you. And if God is with you, who can be against you? In a reset program, he positions you. And I am persuaded God is repositioning someone. But nothing is impossible to you. You were created in his image. You were created in his likeness. You have the propensities of divinity. This is not motivational speech. When God created Adam, the first assignment God gave Adam was God's assignment. God didn't tell Adam, manage apple. Manage. He said, name these animals. And the Bible said, all the names Adam called were the names there is. That means God had already named the animals. He just brought Adam to see if Adam will operate at his frequency. And Adam didn't disappoint God. He operated at the mental frequency of God. And when God saw it, it was good. And then this same person is struggling with physics. This same person is struggling with market forces. This same person. No, it's not you, sir. You need to come to an understanding. I have the mind of Christ. I have the abilities of God in me. As he is, so am I in this world. Not in heaven. In this world, as he is, so am I. This is how you were created. And this is not you talking to yourself. This is your creator telling you who you are. I designed you like myself. You have the capacity to do what I do. Jesus was speaking in John 14:12. He said, the works that I do, he said, you shall do also. And he said, greater works than this. How can you be a failure? Whatever convinced you that you are a failure lied to you. What you are seeing is a mirage. You are success in motion. It may not have appeared, but you are the success. It's not what you have that makes you success. It's who you are that makes you success. It's a mindset. In a conference like this, God will shift you. God will activate things in your mind. You can't see impossibilities. Listen, when God created the world, the Bible said the earth was without form. Genesis 1 verse 1. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. When God showed up, he wasn't complaining. I just created this world. Why is there chaos? No. The Bible said the Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the waters. And God said, light be. And that same God said, I created you in my image. You show up. Something is wrong in the family. Something is wrong in the business. Complain is not the way forward. Check how the one you resemble operated. What do you do? Hover on over the problem. Take time, brood. Take time, meditate. Take time, pray. After a while, the answer will not come from heaven. It will come from your spirit. It was always there. But it will not happen if you don't know you are the solution. So when you come for a conference like this, God will say things. God will reveal things. God will manifest things that will make you know that you have the mind of Christ. That as he is, so are you. That you are the answer, you are not the problem. That you are not limited, you are enabled. You just need activation. So when God wants to really reset you, he will reawaken your devotion to him. As I round up, what are the instruments of reset? Number one is the word. The word of God. That's the only thing that can divide asunder bone and marrow, spirit and soul. Nothing can go deep enough except the word of God. So when God wants to reset you, he will shoot a word into your spirit. And the ministry of the word has three cadres. The first cadre is the cadre of instructions. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it said, every scripture is given by the inspiration of God. The word scripture there is the word graphe. And it said, it is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction, for reproof. So that in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto good work. Now, when he said the man of God, he's not talking about the priest on the altar. He's talking about anybody born of God. Because man of God is not necessarily an ordained pastor. Man of God means anybody that is of God. When you are of God, you are a man of God. If you are born of God, you are a man of God. He said, but for you to be built up, you need the word. Instructions will come. The second level of the word is logos. John chapter 1 from verse 1. In the beginning was the logos. The logos was with God. The logos was God. And he said in verse 4, the logos is the light that lightens every man that comes into the world. So what the world does is that it heightens your intelligence. It heightens your creativity. It heightens your inspiration ability. So while graphe instructs you, logos heightens your intelligence. So the reason you enter in a challenge, you know what to do, is because you have interacted with the logos. The logos is the methodology of God. When you read the word of God for a while, the ways of God are revealed to you. The reason why you can be in the business, somebody wants to cheat you, you know something is wrong. Hey, bring the records here. It's because your mind, signals have been activated. You have become a light shining in darkness. You can't prosper without the ministry of the word. So the word is an instrument. Then finally is the rhema. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema. The rhema is when you become a force. The word becomes power. Every rhema that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's when you talk, demons quake. Your thought situations change. Your thought, the heart of kings are altered. Because now you have the rhema. The graphe builds you. The logos heightens your understanding. The rhema empowers you. The first instrument for reset is the word. From the one we are teaching to the one the Holy Ghost will bring into your spirit. Oh, some of us are around, but we are hidden. You can be in Abuja for 30 years and you are passing your helpers. They can't see you. There's a door between you and them. In fact, you can meet them, shake hands with them, but the veil has not been lifted. You know why? There is a spiritual repositioning that everyone requires in different seasons. If you don't have that repositioning, you will be everywhere and yet nowhere. And that's the dilemma of many people. Anywhere anything is happening, they are there. In fact, they are struggling to be seen. You can literally tell the energy they put in to be seen. Yet at the end of the day, everybody see them, nobody see them. In a reset program, God repositions you. There are people doing the right things, but for the wrong reasons. In a conference like this, God will reset your heart. God will reset your motives. In Ezekiel 36 verse 26, it said, a new heart will I give you, A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. God will do something to your motives. Have you not seen people doing the right things, but the whole reason for that thing is wrong? He said, Uzziah, he did all that was right before the Lord. He said, but he did it with a wrong heart. Somebody can give for the wrong reason. Paul said, I can give my body to be burned, but if I have not love, it profited me nothing. How can somebody die for somebody for the wrong reason? It's possible. And until God shows up, there's nothing you can do about it. So in a conference like this, God comes to re-engineer our motives. People are preaching for the wrong reasons. As sacred as this assignment is, people are doing it for the wrong reasons. There are people who are preaching for money. So the moment they see people gather like this, the first thing they are thinking is what to say to take money out of them. And this money is not for kingdom. They want to go on holiday in Bahamas. There are people praying for the wrong reasons. You see somebody weeping on the altar, you think God has raised an intercessor. When you are given the opportunity to eavesdrop on what they are saying, you'll be shocked. How can Dunsin be like this? Lord, how about me? What have I done to you? Eh? Their prayer is accusation to God. What have I done to you? Why am I like this? Lord, is this fair? Lord, are you alive? I'm tired of you. And the person is, you think he's groaning in the spirit. You think he's travailing. Wrong prayer. Now, why does he want to be like the other person? So that him too can show off. That was the problem of Hannah. She was praying, but the goal was to have a child like Penina. And God said, no, the motive is wrong. You are not going to have a child like Penina. You are supposed to raise a prophet. I've been incubating your womb. You are not barren. That womb is incubated. Only a prophet can come out. But she didn't get it. And she was praying, groaning. She was one of the best pictures of travail in the Bible was with Hannah. But that was wrong. Wrong motive. Today people pray for show off. I'm a man of prayer. And they want you to know that if it's prayer, they are the ones. Wrong motive. As spiritual as prayer is. So when God wants to reset you, he changes your motive. Do you know there are people who give so that they can be seen? And they can hail them. Odogwu has come. So the guy can give a billion naira worth of things. It's applause of men. Things that have no eternal value. Wrong motive. When God wants to help you, he changes your motives so that you will have reward for your labor. Otherwise, you will do so much on earth, but you will go to eternity, you'll be naked. People cast out devils, heal the sick, and Jesus said, away from me, I know you not. You are a worker of iniquity. How can I be walking iniquity by casting out devils? I thought devils are the problems. No, sir. Agents of devils cast out devils. Your existence in time will have an implication in eternity. Because some of us, we have wrong priorities. And some of us have the right priorities, but we don't know how to structure them. Miles Borough said something. He said there are three things that gives value and makes a man impactful. He said number one is prioritization. Number two is discipline. And he said number three is order. He said if a man is able to align his priority in the right order and he has the discipline to see it through, nothing on earth can stop him. There are certain things that are priorities, but they are not urgent. There are other things that are priorities, but are urgent. So what God will do is that he helps you to reorganize your priorities in a program like this. So you know what to do first and how to do it. And you have the discipline to follow through. And before you know what's happening, your life begins to change. Number three, in a reset program like this, God purges us. The Holy Ghost himself will invade your space. Some of you will leave this meeting. You will have dreams. You will have encounters. You will hear voices. That's the ministry of the Holy Ghost. He said he will guide you into all truth. John 16 verse 3. He will guide you. So God in this conference will make his spirit your friend. Beyond what we preach Sunday to Sunday, the spirit will guide you. Number three, instrument is prayer and fasting. If you want a reset, you must give yourself to prayer and fasting. The apostles say, we'll not give ourselves to tables. We'll give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. But they went forward and added fasting because they fasted daily from house to house. Acts 6:4, Acts 2:42 and 47. They gave themselves to prayer. They gave themselves to fasting. If you want God to use his chisels to re-engineer you. You give yourself to prayer. The church will begin by encouraging you, but you will make it a personal life. Number four, men sent by God into your life. Men will reset you. Men. Listen, in this new year, learn to receive the ministry of men. The Bible says some have received angels unawares. And when I say men, it begins with ministers, but it doesn't end with ministers. Even a beggar can be men. Your house gear can be men. You must master the art of receiving the ministry of men. Some of them, I've said it already, will carry your seasons. Learn to discern men. In Genesis 18 from verse 1 to 23, Abraham's life changed when he saw three men. Eventually, that was God and two angels. They walked in the likeness of men. You must master to receive men. Proverbs 27:17 said, iron sharpeneth iron, as a man the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 13:20 said, he that walketh with the wise shall be himself wise. From your own understanding, gather men that have values. Edit them into your life and edit out of your life people that have no value. Don't be sentimental about destiny. You know, 2026, somebody comes, he's gossiping. Somebody comes, talking nonsense. Put your number on, there's this mode that iPhones used to have. If the number is not saved, when you call, it will show busy. So delete the number and put it on that mode. When you now meet them in a program, say, hi, oh my brother, how have you been? Kai, it's been busy, but we will connect. You know where we will connect? When you become wise. Now I'm tired of gossip. I'm tired of backbiting. I'm tired of talking about somebody or something that have no value. If you begin in the natural, then the Holy Ghost will help you. But in this meeting, God will open somebody's destiny. In this season, God will activate somebody's life. Can I speak over you for 2 minutes? In the name of Jesus the Christ, any aspect of your life that desperately require a reset, by the power of grace, by the power of the Spirit, may that encounter be brought to you now. Any area you require discipline in order to be reset, in the name of Jesus, let that grace come upon you now. And any area of your life where demons are mitigating against your rise, against your prosperity, I stand by the authority of the name of Jesus and I decree they are destroyed. Those demons are rendered powerless in the name of Jesus Christ.